Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome back, everyone. Hey, do you want to sell your business for an outrageous price, or do you just want to be another one of those average guys that gets barely enough for your business? If you want to sell your business for an outrageous price, you want to listen carefully to the next 20 minutes. We're going to be talking with Kevin Short, Clayton Capital Partners from St. Louis, Missouri, and they know how to sell your company for an outrageous price. How do I know that? I've known Kevin for years. I've seen him talk and speak, and I've heard case study after case study about how they go into deals and get outrageous prices for businesses. So, Kevin, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bill. Nice to be here.
Hey, it's great to have you, Kevin. I mean, one of the hallmarks of what we talk about is how do you sell your business for enough money to not have to go get a blue vest and a name tag after all is said and done. It's a tough deal these days because there's so many competitive businesses out there. So if you would, just to start us off, tell our listeners how you got started and what your background's like and what's Clayton Capital Partners all about.
Okay, great. In the early 80s, I got into the business of buying companies, and particularly bankrupt companies, and turning them around, selling them, and decided after doing that for about 7 or 8 years that what I really enjoyed doing was the deal itself. So I teamed up with a few folks, and we started an investment banking firm back in about 1990. And then I split off from that in 2001 and formed Clayton Capital Partners, which has now risen to top 10 firm in the country for investment banking firms doing deals between $10 and $250 million. So that's how I came to be at Clayton Capital. I'm the founder of it. And we primarily focus on representing family-owned, privately-owned companies that are looking to sell their company.
And again, in that space, you said, was it revenues or sale price of $10 million and up?
Revenues.
Revenues, okay. And all industries, Kevin, does the industry matter so much, or is it just basically, are there certain industries you won't touch?
We don't do anything with media or real estate.
And darn.
We rarely get into the retail.
I guess I'm out of luck. Okay, I've chosen forbidden business to start here. Okay.
Right, yeah.
Oh, well.
You need a specialist for those.
Okay, so no media and no real estate because those are specialized. But when we're talking service businesses, manufacturing businesses, what are some of the hallmarks that you look for? Or put another way, what are some of the things that a business owner comes to you, what are some of the first questions you ask them to figure out if they're going to be an easy there's probably nothing real easy, but an easier transaction than just a disaster.
Yeah, let me talk about a normal transaction, and then we can talk about the outrageous transactions because they're pretty different. So for a normal transaction, and I'll put that in the context of an average multiple of 5 times the earnings, for example. I want to get a sense of how sustainable is this company, meaning if a buyer buys it, closes on it, are they going to be able to run the company and experience the same profitability like the current owner is receiving? And so how do we prove that? Well, we look at management team. If the current owner goes away, is there a second tier of management that's high quality? Do they have customer dependency? Customer dependency kills a lot of deals right out of the gate. So if you're overly dependent on any one customer, that's a problem. Sometimes you can be overly dependent on one vendor. That's a problem. Sometimes you can be overly dependent on a superstar salesperson, and that can be a problem. Those are all things that need to be looked at and reviewed with who's ever helping them prepare for their exit.
Those are things that if they're not in place, the status of the business can change and very quickly, right?
Yeah, it really can. It makes it very difficult to get a premium price to even get a normal price at the closing table, because the buyer's going to be skittish. Getting good prices at the closing table is a function of lowering the risk for the buyer. Yeah, so anything you can do to lower that risk is helpful.
So having those systems and processes that we talk about all the time in place, how important is that to when somebody comes in to you, ask them, what are your processes and systems? What do they look like?
Yeah, we really do. We had a deal recently that was very difficult because literally the plant was a mess. There was scrap metal laying around from 10 years ago. Other deals, and the buyers take that as a sign of how somebody runs their business. Other deals, you know, the plant is spotless, and the records are perfect, and the buyer feels like they're stepping into a business that's well-run. They need to feel like that. No matter how much money you've been making as a current owner, that buyer doesn't know all the things you know. So record keeping is very important. Credibility of the financial statements is important. If you've been under-reporting profits to save taxes, that needs to be looked at closely before you go to market, because you're not going to get paid for those under-reported profits because you never were able to run them through your tax return. So that's an example of things that we look at up front. In addition to, is our client really motivated to sell, or are they shopping?
That's a big
problem we worry about.
Yeah. So the question number one is, listeners, listen to this. Listen to what Kevin's saying. There's a big difference between being really busy and being an organized, well-run business that someone's going to come in and say, I can always add new business. I mean, that's probably what a lot of buyers are saying, especially when they pay top dollar, is I can work with this and I can go out and bring new business in. If we can't process the orders in an organized fashion, and if there's dysfunction in the management, this business isn't going to run well at all. Is that fair to say, Kevin?
Exactly. I wrote a book about, or co-authored with John Brown about 5 years ago, about how to prepare any businesses to go to market. It's called Cash Out, Move On. And that kind of gave you the roadmap and the pieces and parts of things to work with your exit planner in getting the company ready. All this book focuses on is the selling process. What does that look like? Most of your clients, my clients, have never done this before. So the book helps them kind of get a sense of what's going to happen.
I've only read that book about 20 times, but I think I'll go back and read it again, Kevin.
Right.
We do have it available, by the way, listeners, at exitcoachradio.com. It's in our guests' books. You can find that book. It's a wonderful read and a very, very pertinent information for you. So, Kevin, how many deals are you guys doing these days? What's happening? What's the market look like these days?
Market is actually really good. There's more buyers by far than sellers. We'll probably do somewhere between 12 and 15 deals this year, which is par for the course. And they're going to be all over the country in all kinds of different industries. Prices are up. When we used to see fours and fives, now we're seeing fives and sixes and sometimes sevens for what I'd call middle of the road businesses that are, you know, that are not curing cancer. Mm-hmm. They're just fundamental businesses.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of cash to fund the purchase price. Lots of loans availability, and lots of private equity money that's all over the place.
Well, all those are all good signs. What does it look like if you were to say, let's look 5 and 10 years into the future? You know, obviously things can change quite a bit, but what does the scenario look like as more and more baby boomers reach true retirement age?
We don't know yet, because, you know, we've been expecting this glut of baby boomers to sell their businesses, and that hasn't happened. We've been waiting for that for 10 years. So there's a shortage of sellers in the market today, which is one of the reasons the prices are high. So sellers have chosen to hold on to their companies and run them, usually because they don't know how this works. They don't know if it'll sell. They don't know if they'll get their price. And they don't know how they would invest their money. And they don't know what they'd do with their time. So all those things have to be addressed to make them feel comfortable we're selling.
Wasn't there kind of a reset for all business owners who wanted to sell after 2008, where they almost all had to say, we got to back off here. We're going to be in survival mode for the next few years. And it kind of, the way I look at it is, as you know, we both belong to Business Enterprise Institute. We both know that there's a great process out there. And we both know that every business owner ultimately has to exit their business one way or the other. Right. So what in 2008, it seems to me it pushed a lot of people, hit a reset button for a lot of people, and it took out the normal cycle of sales. Did you see that happening in 2008? Was it tough times after that for you?
We were good up until third quarter of 08, and then it was a ghost town till early 2010. We did a couple deals, but, you know, we did 20% of what we usually did. Mm-hmm. So, but since that time, we have seen the people who survived that really tighten their belt, began to make even more money than they were making before. They cut a lot of dead wood out of their employment force, which led to a lot of the unemployment issues. And they began to reinvest a couple years ago into growth. And so many of them were making more money than they ever have made. Mm-hmm. And I think that's also part of their concern about wanting to sell. Their businesses are much more lean today.
So let's talk about the business owner who gets that call from someone that says, I want to buy your business. Let's start talking. We'll do a non-disclosure agreement. And I'm going to make you sign a no-shop agreement, which says that you can't talk to anybody else about this. I'm going to do this. Is that a disaster, or what would you advise someone who gets that call?
I definitely don't do that. So let's say I'm on the buy side, I'm representing the buyer. That's exactly what I want you to do, is sign that stop shop, because now I've locked you up and I've got you off the market. So the first thing you do as a seller is you say, well, that's lovely. I don't know if I want to sell or not. Hopefully they have interviewed an investment banker or a business broker if they have a smaller company. Hopefully they've already got that person on their team before that call comes in. If they haven't, then they ought to reach out and find one. It's kind of like having the right attorney or the right accountant. You don't want them at the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
So you never want to sign a stop shop until you've locked down everything. And that's at the very end of the process. So when that buyer says, I'm interested in talking to you, what we would do is we would come in, we'd get them under a very stringent non-disclosure agreement so they can't talk. And we would show them some limited data. And based on that limited data, we would ask them to give us a price or a range of price. Based on what they've seen today, they're thinking of paying between this and this. Because if they're not in the right range, there's no point in going forward and showing them a lot of sensitive data. So the goal is make them prove that they're worthy of going forward. Make them prove that they're a serious buyer. In this particular case, they're doing the selling. They should be convincing you, Mr. or Mrs. Seller, that you should sell to them. This is not you selling your business to them. They're doing the selling. So they've got to convince you to think about selling to them. So we don't give them anything until they prove to us, to our client, that they're willing to pay a top price.
And
if they're not, you're wasting your time.
And how important, I mean, I've seen situations where they've said, just send us 3 years of financials and we'll make our offer, where the business might have been doing real well before, 2008, have a great management team and have a great storied history and reputation. But these buyers just want to look at financials. Are those non-starters a lot of the time?
As a rule, they are, because it depends on what your business is all about. No business is the same day after day. It changes every day. And so you've got to be able to tell the story credibly as to why that business is going to be worth more in the future than it is today. And for that reason, you want to be paid a very nice price for it. But you've got to be able to support that with more than just words. You've got to be able to show patterns and gross margin growth and growth in various different customers. There's lots of different tactics and techniques that you need to be able to prove up to them why your company is worth so much. One of our fundamental premises to our practice is we have kind of invented the concept of selling for an outrageous price. Amicom Books is publishing my next book. It comes out on September 17th. And the title of the book is Sell Your Business for an Outrageous Price. The subtitle is An Insider's Guide to Getting More Than You Ever Thought Possible. And the premise of that is, if you think about it, and you're in a business that gets an average of a 5 multiple of your earnings, why is it that you just heard about the guy that got a 10 multiple or mm-hmm. higher?
Right.
Same business, similar EBITDA, everything else. What is the difference? And it happens all the time. And it's happened enough times in my career that I began researching it about 5 years ago and talking about it and gathering data and finally sold the rights to the book this past year. The difference, so every business is different. So there is no correlation between real estate and business sales. You know, real estate, you pretty much know within 5% what it's worth one way or the other.
Right.
A business, it's all worth what the buyer is going to do with it. A financial buyer is probably going to maintain it as it is, which is why they don't pay the highest price. A strategic buyer, we had back in September, a company in Salt Lake City that everybody thought it was worth about a 5 multiple, and we had 3 strategics bid over 11 multiples for the exact same company because of what they were going to do with it and because of how much money they were going to make with it after closing. So that's why we've dedicated our practice to figuring out if that's going to happen during the process, why don't we prepare for it? Why don't we make that multiple higher? And it's all about preparing the buyer to pay a higher price because the buyer's going to try to pay an average price.
Sure.
Because they know the data.
Well, yeah.
We've got to prepare them, though.
Kevin, for our listeners' benefit, describe a strategic buyer.
Strategic buyer is somebody who's in a business similar to yours. They're generally much larger, hopefully a billion-dollar kind of player. If you're selling electrical supplies, electrical wholesale supplies, and you're doing $80 million, hopefully they're doing a billion or two. And they're in your same business, but they have economies of scale, they have better buying power, et cetera, et cetera.
And why are you attractive? Why are businesses most attractive to a strategic buyer? What characteristics do they have to have?
We get into something called competitive advantage. There was a professor at Harvard, Michael Porter, who's the grandfather of competitive advantage, which we've built into our practice, and it's the foundation to the book. There's something you do that makes customers want to do business with you. Your competitive advantage might be that you figured out how to make your widgets less than anybody else. Or so as a result, you have a low-cost advantage. You might have an incredible service department, customer service department, that you've been able to build because of your strengths and your skills. You might have geography, which is what the Utah deal was all about, geography. Mm-hmm. So you've sewn up that state. You might have technology that nobody, so you've developed intellectual property around what you do that the big buyers want to get a hold of, because if they take your company, even though it's doing $80 million and they're doing $2 billion, what you're doing might make a lot more money for them throughout the rest of their platform.
So it's all the things that you do to make your business look like a jewel on a table full of rocks.
Yeah, right? It really is. And many of the clients don't realize what their competitive advantage is. They're so busy worrying about making payroll or getting that next customer or hanging on to a customer, they don't really know for sure why people do business with them. Often they'll say, well, because they like me. Well, that was probably true in the beginning. But once you pass, you know, $8, $10 million in sales, you've got to be doing something for them that's important to their business. We need to find it and be able to quantify the value of it to a big buyer. And is this something that's scalable? Is this something we can deploy across their whole platform?
So, Kevin, very, very valuable information today. We're running out of time, but I just wanted to ask you how and implore to our listeners, you know, here's someone you can get on your speed dial for when that opportunity comes. Maybe they could give you a call or talk to someone in your office about what they need to do for their business to become a jewel among rocks and a strategic buyer target. How do our listeners get in touch with you and your firm, Kevin?
Easy way is the website, Clayton Capital Partners, that's plural, .com.
Okay.
Phone number is 314-725-9939. And there's an additional website, thinkoutrageous.com.
I like it. Thinkoutrageous.com or ClaytonCapitalPartners.com or call Kevin and his firm at 314-725-9939. Look for his book that's coming out. We'll have it on our website, but look for it on Amazon.com as well. Sell Your Company or How to Sell Your Company for an Outrageous Price, An Insider's Guide to Getting More Than You Ever Thought Possible. And that's what we're all about here. Kevin, thanks very much for joining us today. It's been a real pleasure.
Same here, Bill. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. I've been talking with Kevin Short of Clayton Capital Partners. We're going to take just a short break and come back with another guest, so please stay tuned.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing over 250 top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.